Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Margaret. We're hanging out in the backyard. Welcome to Backyard Lavish. Temperature is just right in the backyard, so I hope you'll join us. We're getting ready to celebrate the season. Just chill. Are you feeling it? All right. All right. Compliments of the season. We're going to be celebrating tonight all the rich, diverse culture of the world, but especially Jamaica. I see we have callers. So I'm going to chill with the music here and welcome you all in a minute. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Again, this is Margaret Marshall, and I want to welcome you to Backyard Lavish. And the first thing I want to say this evening is compliments of the season. You see, that's what we always said as in Jamaica as December 1st. We will be saying compliments of the season every time we answer the phone because we were telling everybody that we were getting into the mood. Because for us, back in the day, Christmas was one whole week, if not longer, of celebration. And I see I have a caller already to help me celebrate and bring back memories of back in the day when we grew up in Jamaica. And I want to welcome our caller from 718. You're on. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. And where are you calling from, sir?
This is Lay in the Bronx.
Okay, Mr. Lay in the Bronx. Compliments of the season.
Compliments of the season from the home of the Yankees.
Okay, all right. I won't even talk about the break. So I'll be shutting up. We're talking about happy things now, happy things. I see my co-host is here. And I want to say hello to her and open up the mic.
Hi, Donna.
Well, compliments of the season.
Compliments of the season to you.
You don't have enough. You weren't dancing to the music, Leigh. I can tell.
I was tapping my toe.
No, you got to move your hips.
You had to get up. I was moving around. You had to get in the whole thing. I mean, it was just wonderful. It was some wonderful music. It just had me. Just I said, well, at least I can get some exercise in during the holiday, you know.
Yeah,
but are you just chilling, as Miss Margaret said, you're just chilling then, huh?
You have to warm up before you get in the groove, because up here it's been ice, rain, sleet, everything today.
Oh.
So the music is just putting you in a warmer mood.
Well,
yeah.
I know what you need. You need some good old Jamaican white rum.
Well,
rum punch.
How about some sorrel before you go any further? Sorrel with some white rum in it.
Right. Well, that's Christmas, all right.
Yeah.
And for our listeners who don't know what sorrel is, that's a special drink that we have. I think it's a berry. Would you put it in the berry category, Leigh?
Yes, I would say.
How would you describe sorrel?
Well,
how
I mean,
you spell it?
S-O-R-R-E-L.
Okay.
One L or two?
I think it's one L.
Okay. All right. I'm not a speller. Well, I'll pass on that one.
But
sorrel is a drink. Okay, you describe it, Mr. Leigh.
Well, I'm just trying to remember what my mother and many mothers did when it's Christmas time. They would make this sorrel drink.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, it's a berry that you they strip the covering of the berry off, which is a very dark red thing. And you boil it down, and it produces a lovely drink. And in that sorrel, you have various portions of liquor at Christmas time.
Oh, I only have to put white rum in it. Well, the best one is in the old days, they used to sweeten it with wet sugar. Anybody from the wet sugar days?
Yes, that's probably a good thing.
Well, when I went to Saddle Bar, and my great aunt was doing the Christmas thing, it you would sweeten a lot of things with wet sugar because the sugar wasn't processed. Now I'm talking early 40s, late 30s.
Yeah, well, here's the distinction that people in the country, like Savlamar, would do the Christmas thing a little
different.
And here is one thing that you do different, to sweeten the sorrel with wet sugar.
Aha. Yes, and it would give it more body. I see we have another caller from 718, which is in your neck of the woods. And I'd just like to welcome all our callers and to tell my caller from 718-525 if they'd like to get into this conversation and tell us how they did it. Just press 1 on your keyboard, and I'll know you'll want to interact with us, and I'll open up the mic to you. But in the meantime, if you want to be a silent listener, that's good too. We welcome you. And we welcome our listeners online. And also, we're now talking about things we did during the holidays back in the days in Jamaica. And because I visited my mother's birthplace, which was Savlabar in Westmoreland, and I'm talking perhaps 1939, 40, along those times. I go back way, way back. They would sweeten the sorrel, which I think it only became mature at Christmas time. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Can you correct me on that?
Oh, that's true. And there is not only sorrel, there is ginger beer, don't forget.
Well, ginger beer is all year. But
no,
sorrel
there is
a special sign that it blooms or blossoms or matures, either one.
There is special ginger beer at Christmas time.
Your pardon, I didn't know that.
And there's special homemade eggnog at Christmas time.
Oh, yes, that I know. But finish with the sorrel now.
All right. So
in Savlamar, they would sweeten it with wet sugar. And Donna, and for my American friends, that is sugar that is not processed. It's not dried. You know, we grew cane a lot in Savlamar. You know, there's a lot of cane farming done in Westmoreland. That's where Frome, the sugar company, really shipped sugar out of that port of Savlamar. So that was real sugar in its natural form before it's processed.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives more body to whatever you use it in. You know, it gives it, makes it a little, not as thin. It gives it a little more body.
Yeah.
So this would, and then you, in this soil, you would put lemon juice. Leigh, do you know about that? Lemon juice went in ours.
I don't remember that.
Okay, and we'd sweeten it with the wet sugar. And let me just tell you something. Years after I found out that the people here, the holistic people here, drink the sorrel as a tea, as some sort of nutritional or cleansing thing that I never knew before because we never had it hot. I see caller from 718-525 would like to say hello to us. I'm going to open up the mic and welcome. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking with Mary.
Mary.
Hi,
welcome
Mary.
Mm-hmm. And Mary, could you tell us where you're from, where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Queens, New York.
Okay. Well, I hear an accent, so I assume that you are Jamaican?
Yes.
Oh, welcome to the Backyard Library.
Thank you. Don't forget the ginger in the sorrel. That's a very important ingredient.
Thank you very much. And can you tell us, Mary, how you or your family prepared their sorrel?
Well, you would strip off the sorrel. It looks like little leaflets. A dark red, as Leigh said, and put boiling water, boiling, so it steeps it, boiling water in it with the ginger root, and leave it there overnight, steeping.
Uh-huh.
And then when you strain it off, you sweeten it with sugar and add your rum.
Very good. And that was one of our favorite Christmas drinks.
Definitely.
Besides that, just in the drinking department, we had ginger beer too, right?
Yes.
Which would be made from the pure ginger.
Yeah.
Now, did your family or you put a couple rice grains in it to sort of make it ferment? Anybody ever heard of that?
I can't tell you definitely that is so.
They do various things with this fermenting process. I think some people put yeast in it.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Mm. Each home probably will have their own little touch to make their sorrel or their ginger beer taste. You know,
right.
Different, and warn you that you shouldn't drink too much of it.
Depending on how much rum is in it.
That's right.
And, of course, the eggnog.
Yeah.
The homemade eggnog. What I remember would be just the regular eggs, but it was in the beating process. I can't remember if they separated the egg and do it, you know, do the yolk first and then put the white in. I don't think so. For some reason, I think it was all beat up together.
And then nice, rich milk.
Right. In my younger days, we had the milk that you scald.
Yes.
That formed cream, that thin cream, thick cream. But, of course, you would skim off the cream.
Yes.
Or you pour it in there. But I remember my great aunt, there was a special churning bucket that we would collect the cream would be collected and put in that bucket. And I think once a week as kids we used to have to take turns, or I used to beg for a turn. There was some sort of process. I remember the something that went up and down, and it would produce the butter.
Churn the butter, yes.
Right, churn the butter. But it was a special little piece of equipment or gadget that we did it in. And it was just fun, you know, to be able to do it. But that was the sweetest butter you ever tasted.
Yeah.
But I think we should back up a little. This is like the drinks came after...
The food?
At the beginning of, let's say, December, this is when the mothers and the housewives used to bust open their jars of fruit.
Oh, for the cake.
For the cake.
The pudding.
That was for a year.
Pudding. Right, exactly,
yes,
Mary.
Yes.
And that preceded all this sorrel and
just
exactly. Mm-hmm. So you would start off, you could smell each house baking this stuff or whatever they do to make the pudding and cakes anywhere you go. You know, that's the beginning of the Christmas season.
Right. Well, if anyone should ask me what is the, I wouldn't say best memories, but one of the strongest memory I have is the aroma.
Yes.
Because I think it's hard for perhaps for a foreigner to imagine this fruits that have been soaking in wine and rum perhaps for a year or at least 3 months minimum or 6 months, and also all of the other smells as we got nearer to Christmas.
Yep.
With the ham, the homemade ham.
Very
and the roast beef and the all of these things combined, you know.
Yes, smelling the cloves on the ham.
Oh yes, the cloves. You remember the crisp broth that was done, and it was so beautiful. But I want to just mention one thing which is not related, but I think that is why my sense of smell and taste is so, I think, keen, and that is because I lost my adenoids as a child at 7. And I have always had this keen sense of smell from I was younger, but it's not until I came to the United States and realized when I got into nursing, I should say, that your adenoids are like filters in your nose, and they filter, you know, the air that goes up there. So when you don't have them, everything goes straight up and goes down into your taste buds, into your throat.
Mm-hmm.
So you smell things sharp more. You get more of the aroma, I think. So I think now that is why the smells of Christmas is what stands out to me more than anything else. I can almost remember it as I'm talking about it.
Nothing is wrong with my adenoids, and I remember the smell distinctly at Christmas time. Anywhere you go, you're just dying to get a piece of that pudding.
Or cake.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Well, Mary, do you have a special story you'd like to share with us about Christmas, your tradition, or what part of the island did you grow up or visit?
Oh, I grew up, you would call it in St. Andrew.
St. Andrew, uh-huh, yes.
And as a little girl, really little, what we used to do, I and my sisters and cousins, we used to dress up in pretty costumes and walk up to a great aunt who couldn't come out and sing Christmas carols.
Carols, yes, yes, yes.
And that was lovely.
Yeah, that was a tradition.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Very nice.
That Mary's all right. People within certain neighborhoods would, the children would go up the street with a group of their friends and sing Christmas carols for the neighbors. You know, they'd stop in front of each house.
House, right, I remember
sing
that.
Sing one or two carols.
Right,
and,
right.
And get back home. It's almost, the spirit would be almost like Halloween here, but a little more subdued.
Well, I'd like to just mention to our American listeners or our Jamaicans that we don't celebrate Halloween in Jamaica.
No.
Or never did when
never.
I was growing up. I don't know. Is it being celebrated now? Does anyone know?
I don't
really know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, though.
Oh, okay. So we had sort of similar traditions where we would go to a neighbor's house, but we would not be, you know, tricking or treating. We would be singing carols or giving them some Christmas cheer in one way or another.
Right.
So it was sort of similar. Leigh, can you remember anything in particular beside the smells
you
would like to share with us?
The only thing is that the way I would put it is in the old days, we didn't necessarily have Christmas trees, but we had an optional thing that we would call a Christmas. And I say thing because some people just chop a piece of wood and dress it up like a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Until I think I was probably in my teens before they started to cultivate Christmas trees.
Right, because we didn't grow them on the island at all.
No. As far as I can tell, I had a friend who was the horticulturalist up at Hope.
Uh-huh.
And they started the process of growing Christmas trees first at Hope, and then they had some place in the country where they would mass produce them. So I would say maybe in the late 50s or so, we had Christmas trees.
Uh-huh.
And so I can remember trimming trees with especially the bubble
light,
you know?
Right. Oh, yes, I remember those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they did have little artificial trees.
Oh yes,
the little ones.
Yeah,
and
I can remember ours being not bubble lights or any, but little candles made specifically for those trees.
Yes,
candles.
Yeah.
And you would light the candles.
And you remember the lanterns that they used to put up? These are not little the things that opened up and you put it up near the light.
Yeah.
You remember that, Madge?
No, I'm trying to remember. Describe it a little better.
Well, it's a flat thing that opened. When you opened it up, it was like a lantern.
Oh, what is it? It was made of paper?
Paper, yes.
Yes, now I remember it. Yes, yes.
It had
colors on it.
Different colors, yeah.
Right, right. And now I remember.
And that was your major
decoration.
Decoration that you hang up in your living room.
Right.
And until we got more sophisticated later on.
Right.
At that time, too, we used to use a lot of balloons.
Oh, yes, balloons.
Lots of balloons.
And I'd like to burst them all the time. Yeah.
Well, I spoke to one of my cousins in New York and asked him what he remembered when he was growing up.
Yeah.
And the first thing that he told me that came to his mind was his father getting him awake at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to church on Christmas morning, regardless of what day it fell on.
Yeah. Well, the religious aspect definitely comes into play.
That's correct. Everybody went to church.
And depending on your religion, I know we did it just a little differently. We would, around 6 o'clock in the evening or so, dress up and you go downtown. This is the Kingston, the Kingston people I'm talking about now.
Right.
And we would go down to King Street, and the main thing was to view the stalls that were lining both sides of the street, going down Kingston King Street, and these stalls were decked out with different Christmas things that you could buy for presents and games and stuff, and that was our main attraction, you know.
So, near Christmas Eve night.
Yes, Christmas
Eve. And the
Eve
stores
night.
Opened out until 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. But here comes the religion now. We would have to make sure that we leave in time to get to midnight mass.
Ah.
Is this so right, Mary?
Yes, correct.
And we would return to your neighborhoods and make sure you get to church by 12. And we would have a really fabulous midnight mass. And after the mass, now we're going to break out maybe with your friends on the way home or something like that, some sorrel and ginger beer and stuff, you know. And in some cases, depending on who your friends are, you might hang around till morning and have a Christmas morning breakfast.
Breakfast, yes. I
with the eggnog
that.
At that point.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And as a child, I remember going to the early morning Christmas market and then going all the way down street, down King Street, as you mentioned, to Victoria Pier.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another experience that I never had.
No.
You never had that experience?
No, because I was stuck with church.
Oh, I got you. Well, I was not a Catholic then. I became a Catholic when I got married. Before I got married, I had to become a Catholic to get married because my husband was Catholic, and in those days, you could not marry outside the faith. Can you imagine that? I suppose people now could not imagine that. But in the 50s, that's the way it was. We would not be able to get married in the Catholic Church. He would not be able to continue to get communion. So anyway, I was not, we were dating. But, you know, I was going to church early in the morning, you know, like early morning service, and then going to the Christmas market after.
All right, tell us about the Christmas market.
Oh, it was fabulous. First of all, in the park, right, there's a park somewhere around Kirk where the church is. Isn't there a park across the street from there or used to be?
Where is this? No, at the top
of
Kingston. King Street, the top of King Street.
Yes,
well, the top of King
Church,
Street.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that was Kingston Parish Church there.
Yes.
And
okay.
Around the corner that you mentioned, Kirk, there was
Kirk Church. Kirk.
Kirk.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I strangely enough, last Sunday I was watching the history of the English language on PBS, and all churches were called Kirk's. Or some variation of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But anyway, the one you are talking about was Coke.
Yes, Coke.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a wonderful choir. I remember that. They had a great choir.
And that's where most of the politicians went at this time of year, or, you know, on the big occasions, I think.
Well, one big thing for me was the pantomime, because the pantomime came on.
Oh, yes. That was lovely.
Yeah, you remember that, Mary?
Oh, yes, of course. Went every year.
Yeah, well, you mentioned earlier on that Christmas was like 1 week. Well, I say at least 2 weeks.
2 weeks, you're right,
now,
yeah.
And during the period
we're not talking about New Year's now.
Yeah, and during the period of time, we would definitely have a pantomime.
Yeah.
And for those who are not familiar with the pantomime,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the pantomime was like one of those must things. It was almost like having Christmas carols at Christmas time for a Jamaican. And, of course, a pantomime is a really ancient Roman dramatic performance, you know, that filtered down to the colonies. And the pantomime would feature at least a dancer and a narrative chorus. So they're telling some story. A pantomime must have a theme.
Mm-hmm.
And each year we would have a different theme, and that's what makes it interesting.
Right, right. Definitely.
Yeah.
How many people can remember the Giancuno?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that was a later thing.
Yeah.
And I think it started out at university. Yes, not necessarily Jamaican, but some students from the other islands were familiar with that and started up with it, and then it continued after.
I had no idea that that's where it started, because I can remember it, but I thought it was before that. It was before UC started, actually.
Well,
but, hello?
Yes.
Donna, I wanted to know if you wanted to share any of your Christmas memories with us.
Well, yes. Well, yeah, I sure would. First, I want to say that, of course, this is brought to everyone by BackyardLabrish.com, and we hope that everybody that's joining us will go to the backyard and log in and leave your footprint there in our backyard so that we can, you know, reach out and touch you and let you know about some of the things that, you know, we're lavishing about here on Wednesday night. But my dad was in the military, so we traveled quite a bit, and pretty much how that was done was because everybody pretty much was traveling from somewhere, we would just get together as families on the base and, you know, just kind of go to each other's homes or have an event where everybody could go to, you know, most times we would go to a banquet and we'd have dinner, and then throughout the week, then the families would visit with each other and maybe eat or, you know, just entertain. You know, the kids would get together, and it was just a time for us to come together, I guess, as Americans and celebrate Christmas away from home. And, you know, of course, it was different being in Hawaii, which was really neat. You know, they would bring in concerts all throughout the December. That's when the first time I ever saw Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. Yeah!
Wow.
That was so neat. But at any rate, well, that's just sharing a little bit about, you know, my Christmases. It's something, I think that a part of what is interesting whenever I'm listening is the fact how much stuff was so earthy, you know, like the ginger root, and, you know, it's like you get the berry and you're, you know, using nature, and it seems like it would really be so healthy, you know, as opposed to, you know, getting all your stuff processed and all. But, and I, you know, maybe that like attributes to health or something as well, you know, with all,
well,
you know, the natural stuff.
You know, Donna, I think the mothers and housewives, as I mentioned, they really looked forward to the tradition of making the elements that went into Christmas. You know,
right.
And so the manufactured things didn't really come into play unless maybe it would be sparkling cider or something like that. You know. But
one thing I remembered, Leigh, is that we got the best Macintosh apples at Christmas time. It seems like.
They used to come from Australia.
Australia came from?
Yes.
I didn't know, but they were huge, and they were so red and shiny.
You remember down in Parade, they used to have these women selling the apples?
Yes, the higglers.
Well, I don't know if you want to call those higglers.
Who are you talking about? I'm talking about the girls with the basket outside the store, not the ones that they have now, I think.
No. These were the same women that you would see there from day to day to day, sitting on stools, like.
Right, right.
Yeah, not the higglers like you would see in the market.
No. But I don't think you call the market people Higglers.
Yes, I think that those are the ones you call Higglers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the words mixed up.
All right.
I have a guest here this evening. Who's going to come in and interact with us in a little while. But, you know, I have left for so long that I forgot some of the terminology. But I remember these ladies, they were selling the apples.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, I've not seen any apples that look like those. We used to call them American apples for some reason.
Yeah, well, for the most part, they were from Australia.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. But they were absolutely, I mean, that is something at Christmas time you know you're going to get, you know. So I remember that. And, of course, the music down at, you missed out on that, Leigh, because when you went down to the pier, Tower Isle, I think, what is it? Myrtle Bank was across the street from Victoria Pier. Do you remember Myrtle Bank Hotel, Leigh?
Yes.
Okay, well, it was right across on the other side of the street, right on the water. And we would go down to the market there, and there would be music. And sometimes they would have the military band in there playing. And it was just absolutely wonderful. One thing I remember that it seems like even the temperature changed around Christmas time. And you could, I mean, the breeze, you just know that it was Christmas. You could feel Christmas in the air.
Yeah, well, it was a cooler time of the year.
Yes. And it was the sweater time. But the parties, I was sharing with Donna. And again, I want to remind my listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish. And tonight we're just reminiscing about Christmas back in the days when we were growing up in Jamaica. And actually, I wanted to, Donna, my co-host, is a Jamaican, and she has never visited Jamaica. We're going to have to change that. But I want to tell her that we would actually, most Jamaicans know in those days that if you have anything to get done, especially if it has to be done through a government source, that you would have to do it early in December, because come 2 weeks before Christmas, I mean, they have office parties and everybody would be invited, you know, somebody who work at a bank or someplace that is having an office party. So we're just partying for physically partying. I mean, not just being merry and happy, but we actually have parties to go almost every day or every evening or every night.
No business was done for those 2 weeks.
You know, that's right. So I see I have another caller from 404, and I'm going to ask her to put up her hand so that I can open it up and say welcome. Well, good evening. Who do I have here?
I'm Charmaine Jones. How are you?
I'm doing great, Charmaine, and I hear by the accent. I know that you're in Atlanta by your area code, and I know by the accent that you're Jamaican.
Yes, I am.
Well,
yes,
welcome to Backyard Labrish.
Thank you. And like I said, I'm Charmaine Jones, and I have, trying to remember, like, the few memories that I had growing up. I remember definitely my mother having, like, she would bake the cakes, and I would be with her there in the kitchen, you know, and she would take out these huge jars, you know, of these huge jars with soaked in rum with all kinds of fruit. Does anybody used to have that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
well, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, that's where the fruits were incubating for about a year.
Yes. We should have it somewhere on that cupboard somewhere and filled with rum. And, you know, and she would when she, you know, do the cake. Later on, she had a hand mixing thing, but mainly I remember she did it with this huge wooden spoon, and it would seem like it would take forever for her to, for the eggs and the butter and sugar to cream up or whatever. And but I remember the my best part is when she put everything, you know, into the cake pans and stuff, I would lick the bowl. Oh, man, my finger would...
I did too.
That is a bit, and I think maybe I got drunk from that.
Well, I was just going to say that because most of the children would get the spoon or the dish to lick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of the adults ever thought about the fact that the rum was in it.
No.
So as a child,
well,
I was getting my little taste of rum every Christmas.
You know, it wasn't just rum in it, you know. It is
wine.
There's
pork.
Wine. And,
yes.
maybe brandy or whatever you could lay hands on that's alcohol.
It was every kind of liquor to soak up the fruits.
You know, that's right. But I remember the hardest part in those days, in my days, is that they used the brown sugar was sort of, you know, very coarse. And it was very hard to rub the butter on sugar. Because they didn't have mixers in those days, in the early days.
That's why it took so long. You know, I remember as a little girl that it took so long. For I'm like, oh, my goodness, I don't think I'll be baking cakes. Because of that memory, you know, of her. But it tastes great. I mean, I loved it. And anybody remember the duck bread?
No, I don't remember the duck bread at all. But, you know, I had a bakery, and I know that people from different parts of the islands used to order duck bread, and my baker knew how to do it. But I was never exposed to duck bread in Kingston. Were you, Leigh?
Not in Kingston, but I know of it. My father used to bring these things in from St. Mary and other places where, you know, as he passes through, people used to give him things. And at Christmas, unbelievable, the generosity of those people from the country.
Oh, did you like a lot of butter on the duck bread?
That's the main thing.
Yes,
now,
it was
excuse
it
me,
would
this
be warm.
Donna, can you tell me what is in duck bread?
It's a hard dough bread. It's a hard dough bread, and it's shaped like a duck.
No duck is in the duck bread.
If you've had a regular hard dough bread, the consistency of the duck bread is a little, I would say, lighter, for want of a better expression. It's not as dense as the regular hard dough bread.
I get it.
So it has a distinctive taste. And as you say, I'm sorry, I didn't get the caller's name.
My first name is Charmaine Joan.
Oh, yeah.
You can't say it, huh?
Right. I just think of the warm butter on top of that bread.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I know who Charmaine is, and I'd like her to
share.
Yes, I'd like her to share with our callers a little bit about what she does.
I do a lot of speaking, and I've had a radio show and so on, and I'm looking in January to start a radio show here on Blog Talk.
Well, I wanted to tell my listeners that I saw Charmaine at a performance that we had over the independence period, and I don't know if my co-host will... Yes, I don't know if my co-host remembered. As a matter of fact, I think she mentioned to me that she has done a one-woman show or one-man show. I don't remember how she builds it. What do you? I forgot the way you build it. Is it a one-man show or a one-woman show?
Well, it better be a one-woman show, or it means I had a sex change that I didn't know about.
Oh, boy. But tell us a little bit about what you did in Jamaica.
They call me the voice because I was the voice of Flora Lee, that radio soap opera. Anybody have heard of that?
Say it again. What is the name
Flora
of it?
Lee.
The Fortunes
what
of Flora
period
Lee.
Of time are we talking about?
This was in the early 80s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was this in Jamaica or here in the States?
No, in Jamaica.
Oh, in Jamaica, yes. All, Leigh and myself have been away from Jamaica for ages.
Oh, so he wouldn't have known. Yes.
Right. We are before the independence, long before independence. Yes.
And I've done just actually in every genre, every theater and television and the radio, and did a lot of commercials. And I'm the only person to have had her own theater and produced and starred in it and so on. No one else has done that.
Wonderful.
To this date, yeah. And interviewed a number of people, excuse me, and not only interviewed them and have written columns in New York. I used to write a columnist for a local paper.
Oh, great.
And there's a number of things there, and just been very active. Started a peace movement in New York, and had the county executive declared excuse me, peace in the home awareness week. Had the proclamation done and so on for a whole week.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to ask you to do tonight is share with us and our listeners at Backyard Labrish, what is your favorite Christmas memory growing up in Jamaica?
Wow. Well, like the being with my mother in the kitchen as she did the baking. And also Christmas morning. Well, you know, my parents, my mother and stepfather, they were in the horse racing industry, so he always had to leave very early in the morning. He was
to
a
go
trainer.
To race course.
Mm-hmm.
Is race course the horses used to race?
Caymanas Park.
Caymanas Park.
Yeah,
oh, race
yeah.
course was cycling. Wasn't it?
No, that this is much later now.
Oh, okay, later,
yeah.
Good.
So
yeah.
We would have Christmas. It was wonderful to have the Christmas breakfast. And when he came back home and we all sat and had Christmas dinner together, and invariably you always have somebody come, you know, and turn up. You know, in Jamaica we don't wait for telephone
indications.
Yeah.
We
just turn up.
Well, you're right. Christmas Day was a day of
open
entertaining.
House.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Open house. Good.
Yes.
And,
yes. You know.
I can remember the men getting in the backyard. They're playing dominoes.
Dominoes, yes.
And
yes,
even
yes.
play cricket in the backyard.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
oh.
a lot of drinking going on.
All right. And as they would say in Jamaica, those men could hold their waters.
That's for sure.
Oh, dear. Donna, are you understanding any of this?
Some of it I am, and some of it I think you all have. I'm on a whole different boat, but I'm enjoying it.
Oh,
you know, but,
well, you need
course,
to ask us what we mean, so because I'm sure some of our listeners, like you, don't understand a word about what we're saying.
Now, Charmaine, at what point did we open presents, for instance? Would it be around the dining table? That's Christmas Day, or maybe for the children after 12 o'clock? How did it work for you? Charmaine?
Oh. Yes, this is Charmaine Joan here. It worked for, well, yeah, we would, let's see. We would open it, the gifts in the morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah, at the breakfast. So
yeah. Yes, it was early morning. We would open the gifts, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it would just be, you know, it would be just be really nice, you know. I'm more appreciated the being around, you know, the family and that kind of thing and the cooking, because my mother was an excellent cook.
Is your mother still with us?
Yes, she is. She's going through Alzheimer's at the moment. In that respect.
Sorry to hear that. So
yeah.
I'm saying that to say, you know, it's important for us to leave our memories for those of us who have grandchildren or grandnieces, nephews, godchildren, whatever, because I never asked my mother about what things were like when she was growing up at Christmas time. So I will never know. You know, I'm assuming it was similar because I used to go to Savlamar where she grew up until she was a teenager. And I remember the customs there. But I never really had a conversation with her about, you know, what was her favorite Christmas memory or what she remembered about Christmas. It's strange as I'm thinking back. Those were things I never asked her.
I think for Donna's benefit, Christmas didn't end with Christmas Day because we had Boxing Day.
Boxing Day.
Which,
tell us a little bit about the history of Boxing Day, Leigh.
Well, the first weekday after Christmas was observed would be Boxing Day, and it's in colonies and the British Commonwealth, Boxing Day was a legal holiday,
right.
So everybody's home. And the idea for Boxing Day was that you made boxes for your people, like your postmen and other employees. You know, you gave them boxes. That's how it originally started, and so it was called Boxing Day. And we were loyal.
What would
colonists.
Be in the boxes?
Yeah. Like, what was in the
be?
Boxes?
Mm-hmm.
Different things. I mean, your postman would be very important to you. So you would, if you had a present of some kind for him, or a lot of people used to give away little hams, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were these homemade hams?
Oh, yes. Most of the hams that we had in those days were homemade.
With the saltpeter.
Yeah.
I see we have a caller from 561 area code. And if you would like to join the conversation, or as we say, the labrish, welcome to Backyard Labrish. And if you'd like to interact with us, just hit 1 on your keyboard, on your telephone, just 1, and I'll know that you want to talk. And I'll open up the mic. So 561-615. Or you can be, we welcome you as a listener, but let us know if you want to join the Labrish. Leigh, I either saw a movie, heard, or read that Boxing Day originated because in England, because, you know, like every other country, in the early days, there were a lot of people who did not have money, and you know they didn't have a lot of things for Christmas, and the aristocrats would box up the food, or you know most
yeah,
of the food
well, it's
and,
the same
and
idea.
Give it to the poor.
It's the same idea, but it's the
right.
same
right.
idea.
Only that it wasn't food that we were giving.
Right. Well,
right.
I mean, it's the same idea, but chiefly, if you looked at the main reason for it in the first place, was to, I mean, the postmen were not, you see, like here, we muster up a little present, monetary present for your postmen, people,
right.
employees,
uh-huh.
and it's a similar idea, except that they would get a box, usually you'd find eats in it, you know, things,
right.
Edibles.
Edibles. 516, the mic is open. If you want to say hi, where you're calling from?
This is from West Palm Beach.
Oh, hi, West Palm Beach. I think I recognize the voice. You were a guest on our show before, Miss Panama.
Hi, I've been trying to get onto your show for the last half an hour.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
The show is almost over, Madge.
Yeah.
No, we have a little extra time tonight. I booked extra time.
Okay.
We're going to be on extra time. So welcome, Miss Pansy.
Thank you. I would just like to say I agree with your interpretation of Boxing Day. I understood it to mean that the aristocrats gave food to the poor.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's how it originated, yes.
Often given to them on Boxing Day.
Right, right. But, of course, we continued with it because it was declared a public holiday for them to do that and get food to the underprivileged, I suppose, during the those times, you know, way back. And, of course, we still do it even now in Jamaica, and I think even the independent countries that were once British colonies. I see caller. We have another person who would like to say hello. Is it 404-787? Oh, okay. All righty. Now the person is already live on the mic. So, Miss Pansy, what is your favorite memory of Christmas time in Jamaica?
Well, I grew up in the country, as you know, and my favorite.
What part of the country? Tell us the country.
Near Savlamar in Westmoreland.
Okay.
And
the Savlamar was your capital.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I worked with Visco.
Uh huh.
The company. Well, my favorite memories of the Junkanoo. I don't know if anybody has heard of Junkanoo.
Yes, I was just talking about it.
Oh yes, I didn't hear the beginning of it.
Yes.
We were scared really because they told us there was something hidden in that big box that they had. You know, they would jump up and had sticks and they carried this sort of a huge box decorated with paper, and they would cross swords and jump along. And even when we went to school, we would run to the fence gate to look at these junkanoo jumping up.
And they would have a mask on, right?
Yes. And they
I remember that. Swords. And costumes. They had costumes.
Yes.
Crossed
the swords and went before. It was mostly Indians, I think, that did it.
I don't remember if it was Indians. I remember the Indians with the Hose, which is like a Hindu celebration that they had. But it wasn't around Christmas time, I don't think.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I don't remember it being Christmas time. But I remember seeing the Junkanoo I went to Savlamar several times for Christmas. But I remember seeing the Junkanoo in Kingston, too. But I wanted to ask if anybody remembers a cantata around Christmas time.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
It was like a concert.
Right, and it was all in song, so it was more or less like an opera.
Yes.
It was our version of an opera or the Christmas story song.
Well, you have various Christmas cantatas, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but everything is in song.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm comparing it to an opera. Donna, are you familiar with that?
No, not really.
Ah, okay. Well, it was very popular in Jamaica. I don't know where it originated and where the name came from.
Well, you know, just Friday night I sang a Bach cantata.
Oh.
So, you know, that goes back to when pop music was classical.
Right.
And
it goes back perhaps to England.
Well,
no?
Not necessarily. Bach was German, that's a classical form. So you could have a cantata in Jamaica.
Right. Well, I suppose it was brought to Jamaica by the English, is what I meant.
Could be.
Not by perhaps any of the other cultures, but because England was the dominant,
They didn't call it cantatas in those days.
Yeah.
I think
you know, you can call a work a cantata. You can call it anything you want, but I mean it's not unique to Jamaica. I would
to
say.
Jamaica. But certainly it's not
it's
done
European.
Here. Or
call it European if you want.
Yeah,
to
that's what I
mean. Accurate.
Call it European because I've never heard of it here, and I've been here for almost 50 years.
Well, come to New York.
Oh, you have it in New York. Oh, yeah.
That's the cantatas.
Yes. It's not something. So let me ask you something. Are you calling it a cantata?
Yeah, as I said, we did a Bach cantata last Friday night.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of it here in the South. Have you, Pansy?
No.
Uh-uh.
Probably
never heard
called
of...
something else.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Because they do have Christmas plays and
yes,
concerts
yes.
around
right.
the area. But
uh-huh.
it's not called cantata.
Yes. So was there anything special? Is there anything special, Pansy, that you still do around Christmas time that came from you were growing up?
No. I go home at Christmas.
I know you're getting ready to leave for Jamaica, right?
Yes, I leave tomorrow.
Wow. Are you really going to do it right?
I wrote a couple of cantatas.
Oh, yes.
No,
another
Red
one of my...
The little group, what's it called, the show at Tom Redken Avenue, they always have something. And downtown
uh-huh.
they have the pantomime starting on Boxing Day as well.
Right. Is that only in Kingston or is the pantomime, does the pantomime travel now?
They're trying to travel with it now, as a matter
oh.
of fact. Sometimes they start it off in Montego Bay to see the reaction of the public. And,
uh-huh.
you know, then they take it to Kingston.
I see.
I saw a few plays when I was down there
uh-huh.
last year.
Right. I know they always have plays, some play going on in Jamaica, especially
yes.
in Kingston and at UCR, the Little Theatre Movement,
Little Theater, yes.
whatever that is. And that I know from I was growing up, the Little Theatre Movement was in vogue. And does anyone ever heard of the Ivy Baxter Dancers?
Of
yes.
course.
All right. Well, I was one of Ivy Baxter's dancers.
Yeah.
So, and as a matter of fact, I performed for Princess Margaret.
You did?
When she came, yes, when she came to Jamaica. The dancers did a special, you know, had a special production and for her at some event that she attended. And I was one of the performers. I remember it clearly. But however... The cantatas that I participated in was always in Savlamar when I visited with my aunt at her church. And it was just such a wonderful event. I always remembered it and actually missed it when I came here, even when my children were growing up and they were going to a Catholic school and a Catholic church. But there was not really anything like that at the time. And I, you know, they grew up in Florida. So that's why I said I know it's not very popular. It might be popular in New York.
Well, let's put it another way. You know, in the old days when the Mass was in Latin, you would have an entire Mass sung, and you could call that a cantata.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it takes various forms. It could be a all-chorus cantata, or it could be in a play form, you know, whatever. But cantatas are, I mean, nowadays it's not as popular because classical music has suffered like a demise. You could tell from the radio station. We had maybe 4 or 5 radio stations in New York that played only classical music. Now you might find 2.
Wow.
On the FM.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just want to mention to my listeners, we have a couple of minutes, that the concert that we spoke about last week was well attended, and it was just wonderful. I'm talking about classical music. We had an artist from Jamaica. We had two different artists from Jamaica. But as you say, classical music, it brings that to mind because he played the violin. And it was just so wonderful. John Williams is his name. And he came up from Jamaica specifically for that concert. But he made that violin sing. I mean, it was just marvelous. And it's wonderful, Donna, to hear carols on the violin with a Caribbean beat. It was so neat. Leigh, have you ever heard an instrument like a violin play a Christmas carol with a reggae beat?
Not with a reggae beat, but when at Christmas especially, back in my Holy Rosary days in Jamaica, we had like a string quartet accompanying the Mass, that midnight Mass we spoke about. But they certainly didn't play Calypso, but I can imagine what that would sound like.
Oh, it was so beautiful and inspirational. And, you know, he was real. You know, that is a man that's an artist who's really living his passion. I think most of them do, but, I mean, sometimes it just shows more than others. But I really enjoyed it. And, you know, Judy Mort was one of the artists who came up to perform. So I want to...
From Atlanta?
Yes, yes. It was the Integrity Children's Fund annual concert.
Oh.
And the house was packed.
They came to Florida.
Beg your pardon?
I don't think they came to Florida.
No. It's just the organization is based here. It's a fundraising organization that raised funds for deprived children in Trenchtown, actually. And so these two artists came up to perform, and the house was packed. So it was just a great evening, getting us in the spirit of Christmas. And again, I want to welcome our callers, those listening online, and telling you again that you are listening to Backyard Labrish. We're here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, labrishing about and with Jamaicans and Jamaicans and friends of Jamaica. And we invite you to visit our website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com. And for those of you who might not know what a labrish is getting together to talk, discuss, have a discussion. We do a lot of that, don't we, Miss Pansy? The mic is open.
Labrish.
All right.
Have a good time in Jamaica. My phone is going out, so I have to say Merry Christmas all.
All right. Merry Christmas. We hope to see you next week, Mr. Leigh, and enjoy your performances that you have left.
Yes, one Sunday. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And Miss Pansy, I'd like to welcome you again from West Palm Beach and to tell you that we want to hear more about your Panamanian connection. So we're going to be having you as our special guest when you get back from Jamaica.
Yeah, okay, next year.
And please share with your Jamaican friends what we're doing here at Backyard Labrish and get them to go to our website and leave a footprint, as Miss Donna would say, and share with us some of their experiences. And this month, we are going to be asking our visitors to the website to tell us what their favorite memory of growing up in Jamaica is. And it doesn't even have to be Jamaica. Just tell us what your favorite memory when you were growing up of Christmas. What do you remember most about Christmas? Is it the aroma, the smells of the food, the eating of the food, the dressing up the sharing of the presents, the shopping for the presents, whatever. But do come lavish with us. If you don't do it in person on the phone, please do it with us at our website. Miss Donna, you're on.
Thank you. Well, this has been a very educational show. I really enjoyed it. I'm drooling, just wondering what everything tastes like. Now, you know, even though I haven't been to Jamaica, it doesn't mean that Jamaica can't come here and make some of these wonderful things for us to taste. They sound so good. I would say that my favorite memory of Christmas was just, you know, it was always a private time with my family. I was the only child, so I'm going to tell you one of the most hilarious ones is that every year, because I was the only child, I would ask Santa for a brother or sister, and almost every year I would get another animal. So I had,
that's a good one.
From turtles, I had turtles. I had a chicken one time. I had, I mean, just everything. Dogs, everything. I had fish.
Everything but a baby.
And I kept wondering what was wrong with Santa. You know, he just wasn't listening to me every year. So, at any rate, I think that was the most craziest time. And again, it's always nice to be in the backyard labrishing with you all. Of course, I want to always invite everyone to go to backyardlabrish.com and to leave your presence there. And also remember that you can Google just parts of this show, and you will get it online. It's amazing the footprints and your voice that's being left, you know, in the backyard. Back to you, Ms. Margaret.
Okay, I see we have a caller from 404-610, and if you'd like to labrish with us or say, tell us who you are, just hit one on your telephone, and we'll open up the mic. We have a couple of minutes left. In the meantime, again, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish, and tonight we're reminiscing about back in the day when we were young or growing up and our favorite memories of this holiday season. I would like to take this opportunity to just share with all our listeners that this is the season for love, for giving, and for being happy. And regardless of your circumstances, you are never alone, because love starts with you. So if you have no one to love you, forget about that. You love yourself, and you know that whoever you are, you know that whoever made you, whoever you think of as your creator, loves you too. So just be loving and kind to yourself this season, and that will give you an opportunity to share love with those around you, whether you know them or not. You can share love with a smile, with a hello, with a compliments of the season, as we like to say it, or just happy holidays. Whether you know someone or not, just share the love. And at this point, I can see that 404-610 is listening, but is a silent listener and perhaps want to remain so. And we welcome you anyhow, whoever you are, and hope that you're enjoying our show. And Miss Pansy, do you have some parting words for us?
Well, I think you're doing a very good job, and I like to listen in instead of speaking.
Oh, well, thank you.
That thought was very good that you gave us a while ago, because it all starts with love and it finishes with love.
Right. And I just watched a video not so long ago, a couple of days, perhaps last week, and it was about a scientific test that was taken. You know, they have things now that can really, the testing on every level, whether it's medically or what, is so precise now that they can get more accurate readings. And this test was all about, you know, how we feel, when we feel happiness, what really, we radiate more energy. And there was a photograph taken of someone in a happy mode, and you could actually see the expansion beyond themselves, you know, of this positive energy. So I can only encourage people that if they don't have love around them, love themselves, because in loving yourself, you will be radiating this energy, which someone else will pick up, and then they will feel the love and perhaps return it to you. So I was very impressed with that video, and it really just reminded me of, you know, when we, they say, laugh and the world laughs with you. You know, that is really a true statement, because when you are in a happy mood, you will create more happiness. So we want to create more happiness than sadness. So whatever your circumstances is, you know that you can love yourself, or you can love the things around you, even if you don't have much. You know, the weather, the plants, the decorations for Christmas, the carols that you hear, you know, whatever, but find something to love.
It says, weep and you weep alone.
That's right. That's right. So we want to do more smiles than weeping. Even if we have things to weep about, we have to find joy in something. Now, Miss Pansy, I know that you're going to have a very good time in Jamaica.
Well, I hope to.
Oh, yes, you will. And how long are you going for?
About 3 weeks.
Oh, well, isn't that...
We have a jazz festival. I might even stay to the jazz festival.
Oh, wow. I've always wanted to attend one of those.
It's a crowded time of the year, though. The jazz
festival. I know, but it's a lot of fun.
So I hear.
Yes, you've never been to one?
No, I've not been able to one, but I have friends who keep asking me to stay over. But it's always end of January that they have it, and it's in Montego Bay.
Wow.
Difficult to stay from now until the end of January. So.
Well, if you want to stay, you know, you can stay, because that's one good thing about being retired. Your time is your own,
it's
just a matter of you wanting to, I think.
You create responsibilities that you have to adhere to, so I have to come back to my responsibilities.
Okay, well, just ask those people at the Jazz Festival to send you some of the recordings or something so you can get in the mood.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well,
okay, and we'll look forward to having you on the show when you get back or next year.
Okay, Margaret, well, have a very good Christmas. And
well, thank you, and same, and spread some love down there for me if I can't get down there, okay?
Bring some Christmas pudding for you.
Oh, that would be good. I can smell it already. You know, I'm into the aroma.
I joined the show late, but did you tell them about our Christmas pudding?
We talked briefly about it. Are you an expert on the Christmas pudding? Can you share something special with us?
Well, I used to be, but, you know, nowadays you're eating in a different way to what we used to, because everybody wants to not so many calories, and you don't want this, and you don't, it's too rich. And so we have cut down on Christmas pudding. If you have one slice, that's all you'd have. In the days gone by, I used to have 12 pieces. each month, each day of... Did you not hear about that?
The what?
Did you not hear about that when you were growing up?
Oh, the Christmas pudding?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, man. Yes, we discussed the pudding itself, how the fruits would be soaking for a year.
Yeah, and you had to have 12 pieces.
No, I never heard of that. That is new to me.
12 months of happiness.
Oh, now you see, you learn something, because I never ever heard about that. That is something different, Miss Pansy. That happened in your household?
Well, you used to go around from house to house.
Oh, right, that's true. But I didn't know that we were eating for the 12 months.
Yes, yes. We tried to eat 12 so that we would have 12 months of happiness.
Oh, by the time you got to the 12th one, I'm sure you were a little tipsy.
I won't be able to eat 12 while I'm in Jamaica. I mean, it's about 4 months.
Right, right, right. Donna, did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Well, I can just tell you that not only is we used to call it a plum pudding.
Yes.
Because it was actually steamed. You know, you had water in the bottom of the oven. Right, Pansy?
Yes.
The real plum pudding has a pudding consistency. It's between a pudding and a cake.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very moist. Mm. And you can imagine a lot of that comes from the steaming, but a big portion of it comes from the rum and wine.
Yes.
And brandy.
Of the fruits.
Right, and the fruits too. But they were not soaking in water, right?
In a sealed container and put it in a big saucepan with water.
Right. But that cake could last a long time, couldn't it?
Oh, yes, I've had one in the fridge for over a year now.
Really? And it's still moist?
It's still moist.
Wow. So do you heat it before you eat it or what?
You heat it, yes. It's
nice. You warm it up, as we say.
Yes.
All right. And do you serve yours with a sauce? Like a rum sauce?
I say we used to, but now we eat too many sweets.
I got you. Uh-huh. I understand.
Just stop serving it with the sauce, the whipped cream.
Right. Well, I want to tell our listeners again, we just have a couple of minutes left, that you're listening to Backyard Labrish, and we're labrishing with West Palm Beach, New York, Atlanta. I mean, and I'm sure we have a lot of listeners online. We want to welcome you again and hope that what we've talked about have gotten you into the mood for some food, some Christmas cake and Christmas pudding. I know that the fruit cake here has a stigma. People joke about it as if, and the jokes are not positive. Donna, can you shed me some light on your fruitcake?
Well, now, see, you have to remember, you're dealing with a lot of fresh things as you're talking. For us, we pretty much, you can buy the fruit that you put in the fruitcake. And you can use some rum with it once it's done, but you're pretty much making it like a loaf. And then the fruits that are, they're like, they're dried but with sugar on. I can't remember exactly what you call it, but preserved with sugar. And so then, but they're, you know, you can get some pretty fresh, containers of it where the fruit is really nice and moist, and you mix it into the loaf, which is kind of like a sweet bread. And then, of course, like I said, you can, some people put nuts in it, some people don't. I like the nuts preferably. And a little glaze on it, and then you can put some rum on it and let it sit for a while. And a lot of times, they'll wrap it up in maybe some wax paper and put it into aluminum container and leave it for you can leave it for a long period of time because it's well preserved.
I see. All right, because I've heard funny stories about fruitcake, and the idea I got is that people make it and buy it, but they don't like it. Is that the idea you get? Pansy, you've heard them talk about the American fruitcake?
Yes, because it's usually very much different to what Donna said, that you soak it. The fruitcake,
right.
I know from over here, is not soaked. It's a hard fruitcake.
Right, and people always make fun of it.
Yes, that you can stone you.
Right, somebody with a fruitcake. And they always say, well, that is something you don't give someone,
no,
a fruitcake. And it's the opposite for us, but only we don't call ours a fruitcake. But
well,
I know that it's around Christmas time that this fruitcake thing appears.
It's different to ours, Margaret. It's
right, totally different, yes.
I guess they haven't put a lot of rum and soak in the fruits like us, because ours is moist while theirs is dry.
Right. There, as Donna said, it's more like a bread.
Yes.
It has a bread consistency.
And ours is called plum pudding.
Right. Definitely.
There's also different types. I mean, because most of the kind that you're going to get over the counter are going to be pretty much like kind of, hard and dry. They're not going to have, they may not even use, you can get some really nice fresh fruit that is moist, particularly during this time of the holiday. If you can get some really good fruit, and you can make a nice moist loaf as well. And some of the loaves that you buy at the store, you cut them and they just flake all apart, whereas when it's moist, then you can cut it almost like a, kind of like a, it's kind of, a bread kind of consistency, but not quite like the pudding. I did feel a little intoxicated when we went to this event, a jazz event, and you all had some pudding there. I was like, my goodness, woo. And but it was very tasty, but it was a different consistency, kind of softer. You know, you could really kind of taste more of, I think, the custard or creaminess in it. It was a different, just a totally different dessert.
Well, I can tell you, Donna, that I know from experience that almost every house that you possibly visit, the plum pudding or the Christmas cake tastes a little different. Wouldn't you say the same, Pansy?
Yes. Each person
Everybody,
has
yes.
their own recipe that they add this and add that.
Right. Some people put cherries. I don't think a lot of people put nuts in Jamaica. That was not very popular, at least when I was growing.
They put nuts, but it's ground. It's fine.
Ground, yes. More like an almond paste.
Yeah.
It's more like a paste. It's ground up.
Don't taste the nuts because it's ground into all the other fruits and...
Right. I see that finally 404-6101 is say hello. So I'll open up the mic. Hello, you're on.
Hello, you said finally. Hello there. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm very well. You're talking about subject I don't really know much about, cooking food or making food. I'm an expert at eating food.
I know. And we're talking to...
We're talking to Ade from Atlanta, Georgia.
Originally from?
Originally from Nigeria, born in England.
Okay. Well, how can you be from Nigeria, born in England?
Well, you know how it is. Black people.
All right, so tell me your favorite Christmas memory growing up in Nigeria or England.
Well, it's funny because I've been listening to some of your guests, and boy, it's a good thing that I'm coming towards the end of the show because, man, I can't touch any of their stories.
Margaret, I'll just say goodnight. I have to finish my packing. Have a very good Christmas.
Okay, dear. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't think I have the memory of Christmas. The only thing, hey, Donna, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Ade.
Good. The only thing that I remember was, and this comes to me, and I was earlier when I was listening to the show, I said, I wonder if that was Christmas, because I've always thought about it, but I remember there was this special day, our parents took us to the store, and we bought all kind of things. I knew it was some kind of holiday, so it had to be Christmas. But the only reason why I doubt it was I was able to, I had the present, so to speak, and I bought a little radio. It was called a transistor radio.
Uh-huh.
It was a small one. And I don't know what it was, but I just remember being so excited about having that radio. I couldn't wait. When we got it, it had no battery in it. When I got in the house, the first thing I went to do is put battery in and just listen to it. And that would stay with me to the rest of my life.
And it's funny that you are a radio host.
That's right. Because when I tell people about radio, it's like, well, I didn't go to school of broadcasting, but my first my experience with radio was that's the thing that really stands out for me. So it could be Christmas, I don't know, but I don't know if I have a favorite Christmas story. All I like about Christmas is people gathering together and we eating and eating and eating.
Well, I just learned something new about a tradition in my country that I never knew anything about, which is the 12 pieces of Christmas cake. See, the people think that because you're from Jamaica, everybody do the same things or you know what's going on. But if you lived in different parts of the islands, there would be different customs. So I learned something tonight, really, that I never knew before.
So you're going to be making some 12 pieces of cake?
No, I don't think so. But I'll be encouraging people to eat 12 pieces so they'll have 12 months of good luck or whatever it's supposed to be. All I know that by the 12th piece, they'll be staggering home if it's
okay.
A Jamaican cake.
And I want to say, because I see you've got like about 2 minutes left.
Right.
Your story had me laughing so hard when you said every Christmas you won the brother or sister and you got more animals, turtles and chicken.
Is that something?
Yeah, that was truly funny. true.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us, Ade. And Ade has a show. Ade, you want to tell our listeners about your show quickly?
Well, real quick, we've got 32 seconds. No, just go to blogtalkradio.com, Life Conversations Radio. No, Life Conversations, sorry. Life, L-I-F-E Conversations. You've got 30 seconds left. Check it out. Google Life Conversation or Ade on Ambassador. They'll find it. I'm not going to take over your show. Bye-bye.
Okay, all righty. Well, I'd like to tell our listeners, thanks a lot for calling in and for listening online. And you can listen to Backyard Labrish. And please check our website out at www.backyardlabrish.com. And we want to thank you for being with us and wishing you a happy holidays and hope you'll be with us next week. Donna?
Well, again, happy holidays, and we look forward to the next time that we're here in the Backyard Labrishing. Again, go to backyardlabrish.com. Good night.
Night. Bye-bye.